Our loving Father in heaven, this morning as we kneel before you once more, first, Lord, we just want to thank you for the beautiful music that has been given to us today. We praise your name for those who are willing to give you honor and glory through gifts and talents that you've given. We thank you that they were willing to sacrifice their time to be here with us. And we pray that you will bless them for their service. And we ask now, Lord, that as we are going into this topic today, as we think about the communion service, all that was done for us at the cross, that today, Lord, our hearts will be inspired, that we will be stirred within us, and that the seed of revival will be planted in our hearts, in this church, in this place today. That we won't just talk about revival and reformation for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks or through the next quarter, but that we will begin living it out in our lives. This morning we heard that there was a revival begun in a church in England, and all of the churches around it were affected by that. And that's our prayer today, that you will begin revival right here in this place in our hearts, and that it will stir up other churches around us. Lord, we want to see you come very soon. And we know that you're not waiting for money. You're not waiting for events. You're waiting for people. We have been told in inspiration that you wait for a people who will fully reflect you. So, Lord, I pray that this morning we begin to get that picture, and we will start pursuing that with all of our hearts. Fill us with your Spirit today. And speak to us now through your word, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we are beginning the first part of our series, and I can't tell you how long it will go. I want you to know that we are going to strive to cover every aspect of revival and reformation, that nothing be left out. But there are two simple questions that I want you to ask yourself this morning as we begin. Number one, I want you to ask yourself, do I sense the need for revival and reformation in my own life? Now think about that question, because we are the Laodicean church, and the Laodicean church has a problem, and the problem, as we discussed in our lesson this morning, is they are blind, they are wretched and miserable, and they do not know their condition. So the most important thing that we can grasp today before we walk out these doors is to really get a true picture of our own individual condition. That means I'm not going to be looking next door at my neighbor. I'm not going to be thinking about somebody on the other side of the aisle that I wish they'd get it. I'm going to be looking at myself, and I'm going to be saying, do I personally, this sermon is for me, by the way, do I, Ralph Henderson, do I sense the need for revival in my heart? I don't want to be part of Laodicea that doesn't know where I'm at. I don't want to think that I'm better off than I am. And I'm praying this morning that God will speak to my heart in a way that will change me, and I'll never be the same again. Question number two. Am I asking God to bring revival and reformation into my life? Am I asking God? Every day, is that something I'm saying to the Lord? Lord, revive me. Make a change in my life. I want to be a new creature in Christ. So please, Lord, move upon my heart. Because we need to know this morning that it is God alone who brings revival to us. Inspiration tells us in The Home Missionary, November 1, 1890, paragraph 26 and 7, I'm going to begin with something you've heard many, many times, but the next part, I don't know how often we hear it. She says, a revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most what? Urgent of all our needs. Now, we've heard that said many, many times, but have you ever heard this? It is a case of life or death with us. We have been stricken with spiritual paralysis, and everyone needs the help of the great physician. He alone can reach our case. You see, there's only one way for revival. That's for us to allow Jesus in here. I want you to go with me on a little journey as we look at a couple of words this morning. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to look at what Paul talks about. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles in the slots in the chairs in front of you, and I would hope that you would grab those and open them up so you can read for yourself what the Word of God says. And if you've got an iPad and a Bible, I'd prefer that you turn the iPad off and go to the Bible, because sometimes when you have an iPad, you start looking at some other things besides the Bible. And I don't want you to be distracted this morning. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "And you hath he what? Quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the power, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of what? Disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." You see, Jesus wants to quicken us. He wants to bring us back to life. And I want you to know that the Bible is filled with men who understood what it means to be quickened and to be revived. Let's go to the Psalms, Psalms chapter 119. And we're not going to spend a lot of time, but I tell you right now, you can take your Bible and go home and do a study on the words quicken and revive, revived, revival. You will find many things in the Word of God. God is wanting to continually revive his people. Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119, and we're going to look at verses 37 and 40. Psalms 119, verses 37 and 40. We could look at six or seven other verses just in Psalms 119 where David speaks about God quickening and reviving the heart. Psalms 119 and verse 37, he says, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me," what? "In thy way." The psalmist says, "Lord, look, I know that my way is a way of death. I want you to quicken me, bring me alive to your way, so that I understand the way to life and life eternal." Remember, Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The psalmist says now in verse 40, he says, "Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy" what? "Righteousness." Brothers and sisters, if we are going to get into the kingdom of heaven, we are going to have on the robe of Christ's righteousness. Your righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. Your righteousness is not going to get you in the kingdom of heaven. You are going to have to take that robe off and put on the robe of Christ's righteousness. In Psalms 85 and verse 6, David said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" You see, when you're living in a church or a Christian community that has not got the power of God, they're miserable because they're trying to live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church, and it doesn't work. You know, a partially converted Christian is one of the most miserable people in the world, because they can't commit to either way. Remember now, the two words, quickened and revive, are essentially the same words, and both mean to restore life, to stimulate, to activate, and to renew. They want to stimulate. God wants to stimulate you, activate you in his word, and renew you by his spirit. You know, when I was 18 years old, I got out of high school, and I went to work at a steel foundry. And when I was hired on to work at the steel foundry, they put me in a department called the mold room. And there we made all of the sand molds for them to pour the steel. Now, as I learned a little bit more about it, every day they would bring this big dump truck in with just pure white sand and dump it in a big pile. And the two guys that mixed the sand had one of those big cement mixers, you know, the kind of portable cement mixers. And they would have a bottle or a can of what we call sodium silicate. And they had a certain mixture of sodium silicate that they would add to this sand. And when they would add it to the sand had this beautiful, soft, it was so much fun to put your hands in it and let it run through your fingers because you could tell it would just bind together, but yet it wasn't hard. And they would put this in big barrels with bags, and we would get those bags and barrels. We would open them up, and then we would take and start putting them into patterns. And we would form them into the patterns, and then we would activate the sand with CO2. We had these little hoses with cups on them, and we'd set it down over the mold, and we'd go through, and we would activate that sodium silicate. And then we would bring the mold up off of the sand, and here would be this hard-formed mold that would have whatever pattern it was that we were making, and we would put those together and stack them up, and that activation made that sand so strong that when you poured 2,700-degree metal down into it, it wouldn't do a thing. It would hold together until the metal had cooled, and then they would have to actually take sledgehammers and break it all off of the metal and then run it all through a process of cleaning it up. And I was so thankful that I didn't have to work over there. But you see, my brothers and sisters, God wants to activate us. He wants to stimulate us. He wants to renew us. But you see, we have to understand how it can work. Great Controversy, page 464 says, "Before the final visitation of God's judgments upon the earth, there will be among the people of the Lord such a revival of primitive godliness as has not been witnessed since apostolic times. The Spirit and power of God will be poured out on His children." Is the Spirit and power of God being poured out on you today? Today we are talking about the seed of revival, the very beginning of revival. In the verses above, we saw that it is Christ who brings revival to the heart. But how does He do it? And what happens in us for revival to begin? I want you to join me this morning as we look for a few minutes, and I promise it'll only be a few, as we look for a few minutes at those last hours of Jesus' life, His interaction with His disciples. We will see how Jesus plants the seed of revival in the hearts of men and women like you and me. Go with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And verses 24 through 26, we're all very familiar with the story of Jesus and the disciples in the upper room that last night together. Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 26. They're all together in the upper room, and remember this statement beginning in verse 24, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest? And He said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. He that is chief, as he that doth serve." Jesus was beginning to plant the seed of revival in their hearts because you see, when you look at the disciples and you understand what was taking place in their lives at that very moment, they were just like Laodicea. You see, they thought that since they'd been with Jesus for 3 years, they were there. You remember, they were so good and holy that when they saw somebody else doing something in the name of Jesus, they said, "Lord, should we call fire down on them?" Oh man, they had arrived. We're the holy ones. What are these guys doing? The pretenders. Lord, what do you want us to do with them? They were filled with pride. They couldn't see themselves as they really were. But Jesus had these last few hours with them, and in those last few hours, He would plant a seed of revival in those men that, as you heard this morning, 120 would then go out and bring 1 million people into the Christian faith. There's some revival. There's some revival. And Jesus knew just what to do to plant the seed. Notice His interaction with Peter in verses 31 to 34. You remember this little interaction. It says, "And Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art what? What? Converted? When you are converted," he said, "strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." And he said, "I will tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." You think that stirred Peter up a little bit? Oh man, the pride was really welling up. "Lord, look, I'll go to death with you." Jesus, in his patient and loving way, "Peter, Peter, listen to me now. Tonight, you're going to deny that you even know me." Brothers and sisters, Peter had to go through an experience before he recognized he was not ready. He had to go through something that probably many of us will have to endure before we will really be ready for true revival. You see, we need to understand that Jesus knew just how to reach his disciples. He knew how to plant the seed of revival. Peter was one of those who was blinded by his own pride. He didn't know his own weakness. Follow me over to John 13, though. John chapter 13, verses 4 through 9. Keep your finger in Luke, but go to John chapter 13, verses 4 through 9. John chapter 13, verses 4 through 9. This is still in the upper room. Jesus has now gone one step further in planting the seed of revival. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 4, "He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith in him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him and said, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." You see, Jesus was planting the seed of revival, trying to bring Peter to an understanding of his great need. Even before we understand the Holy Spirit is working on our hearts, Jesus is planting that seed. And after he plants the seed, as we see in this interaction with Peter, he begins to water the seed. But the question is whether or not we're going to drink when the water comes, whether or not we will begin to grow. Now go back to Luke 22. Luke 22 and look at verse 54. Luke 22 and verse 54. Luke 22, beginning in verse 54, after they've left the room, they've gone to Gethsemane, and now Peter has followed Jesus through everything that's going on through the night. It says, "Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him, and as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. One. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also with him. And Peter said, Man, I am not. Two. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew three. Now, you can go to Matthew's account of that, and Peter went to the point of even cursing so that he would separate himself as far as he could. I want you to think about it for just a moment. Peter was going through what he would consider a nightmare in his life. Can you imagine what it would be like? I was just sitting with Jesus a few hours ago. I told him I would go to the prison. I would die for him. And here I am, not only denying my Lord, but I'm cursing so they think I've got nothing to do with him. You think Peter needed revival in his heart? You think Peter needed a conversion? Do you think Jesus knew what Peter needed? Do you think Jesus knows what you need? Do you think he knows what I need? If revival is going to take place, we have to come to an understanding. Notice Christ Object Lessons 154. At that moment, Christ looked at Peter, and beneath that grieved look in which compassion and love for him were blended, Peter understood himself. He went out and wept bitterly. That look of Christ broke his heart. Peter had come to the turning point, and bitterly did he repent of his sin. He was like the publican in his contrition and repentance, and like the publican, he found mercy. The look of Christ assured him of pardon. Now his self-confidence was gone. Never again were the old boastful assertions repeated. Two things that are going to happen as the seed of revival is planted in the hearts of men. Number one is recognition of who you are. You will never have revival until you recognize who you are and your desperate need for Christ. And you see, that's what Jesus had to put Peter through for him to finally understand and get the picture. My brothers and sisters, there are people sitting in this room today. Many of us are going to have to go through what we consider to be a nightmare before we finally recognize who we are and who we need. The very first thing that has to take place before the seed of revival can be planted is recognition. I have to recognize who I am. The second thing that must take place before that seed can begin to grow is repentance. You see, the Bible says that Peter came to himself. You remember the story of the prodigal? The prodigal son thought he was rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. And finally, when it was all gone, the scripture tells us, and he came to himself. You see, he understood where he was and what he needed. Peter had that same experience, and all of us are going to have that experience. But the good news is when we come to ourselves, when we realize and recognize the mess that we're in, and we come and fall at the feet of Jesus and repent, just like the prodigal son's father, his arms are open wide to bring us back in. He wants to put on that coat, that robe of righteousness. He wants to restore us. He wants to revive us, to quicken us, and to give us life in him. If true revival is to take place in our hearts, we must first come to the recognition of our condition, and then by the grace of God, come to repentance. Conflict and Courage, page 145. Repentance is the first step that must be taken by all who would return to God. No one can do this work for another. We must individually humble our souls before God and put away our idols. When we have done all that we can do, the Lord will manifest his salvation. As we bring this to a close, go with me to Isaiah 57, and now let's look again at our verse for today. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Isaiah 57 and verse 15, we are talking about recognition of our need and repentance. And notice what Isaiah says. Verse 15 of Isaiah 57, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." You see, God wants to revive our hearts, and when we humble ourselves, he is able to what? Lift us up. When we humble ourselves and recognize our need and come to repentance, then God can bring life. He can renew us once again. Two thoughts as we close. The Lord can do nothing toward the recovery of man until, convinced of his own weakness and stripped of all self-sufficiency, he yields himself to the control of God. Then he can receive the gift that God is waiting to bestow. From the soul that feels his need, nothing is withheld. He has unrestricted access to Him in whom all fullness dwells. Desire of Ages 300. And lastly, our churches. Let me rephrase it. Plymouth Sorrento is in need of a spiritual revival. Now is the time for the work of repentance and confession of sin to extend deeper. Now is the time for God's people to allow the Holy Spirit to make clean and thorough work in order that all selfishness, all wrong, may be uprooted from the hearts. What better time than communion for the seed of revival to germinate and sprout? What better time to come to Jesus and say, "Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me, revive me again." It all begins with recognition and repentance. Pray with me if you will. Our loving Father in heaven, today we have looked at the seed of revival. And Lord, our prayer is simply, plant that seed in our hearts. We pray that you would come into every heart in this room today, Lord. We long for the revival necessary, the reformation necessary, that we may complete the work that you've called us to do, that we will become the people you want us to be so that you can finally return and take us out of this place. Oh Lord, move upon our hearts today. And as we go now to the ordinance of humility, may our hearts truly be reminded that this is our opportunity between us and you, between each one of us and one another, that we can come and bring and make things right. Repent and confess those things that keep us from being unified and being one in Christ. And then as we come back for the communion service and are reminded of your infinite gift of sacrifice, may our hearts be stirred to the very core. May this be a day that we will not soon forget. Be with us now as we continue on, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.